Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear. Give us a portion from your throne for our lives. Speak to us from your heart. In Jesus' name. Today, we are going to be finishing the series in Romans chapter 8. If you would turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Romans 8 and starting in verse 38. The Word of God says, "For I am persuaded of this." This is the apostle speaking. The apostle was a brilliant scholar. Not all apostles were brilliant scholars, but this one was. This one was a master in the law. And he was taught by the best of all the teachers. He was taught by Gamaliel. And he was one of the top Pharisees when he was a Pharisee. He was a master of the law. Very few people anywhere had Paul's education. Because as a Roman, he had the ability to get the best education. As a Jew, he had the ability to get the best law education. And he got both. So he was an extremely well-educated man. This man, who was at the top of the Pharisaical order, or close to it, this man said that he was persuaded of something. That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is this talking about? And who is it that would try to separate? This passage is about the love of God, yes, but the love of God in a specific realm, a specific context, it is about the love of God in terms and relative to kingdom warfare. Right? Principalities and powers. Principalities and powers cannot separate me from the love of God. In 1 John chapter 3, if you would turn there please. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, the Word of God says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Now, he that committeth is epoion. It's a present active participle. That means that he who is continuously and presently committing sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. And Robertson brings out that this is apartes hamartainai, and it's a linear progressive present active indicative, and it should read, "He has been sinning from the beginning of his career as the devil." This is normal life, and those who imitate him become his spiritual children. That's Robertson. "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested." Manifested there is aphanerothe, and it's in the aorist passive indicative. And this is saying that it was done once and for all in the past, but it gives no indicator of time. Now, he did not produce the action, he received the action. His manifestation did not come from himself. His manifestation came from the Father. Because it pleased the Father to bruise him in Isaiah 53. It's an indicative mood. So it's telling us that it's a dogmatic reality. That he might destroy, the word is lucy, and it means, it's the aorist active subjunctive. That means it happened once and for all in a time in the past, active voice, he produced the action, he was manifested. That action was not produced from him, but he does produce the action of destroying the works of the devil in that manifestation. It's a subjunctive mood. That means that it is a conditionality to it. If he does it, the works of the devil are destroyed. That shows us that he had a volitional condition here. In other words, he didn't have to do it. He chose to. And when he chose to do it, the Father manifested him, and the works of the devil were destroyed by him. And the word loose, that he might destroy, to loose, loosen what is fast, bound, meaning to unbind or untie. And this is the same meaning that is used in Matthew 16:19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you realize what this is saying? This is saying that when he... what does it mean to have destroyed the works of the devil? We have the same ability. But we don't have the ability in as much as he did, that we are not manifested. We don't die for the sins of the world. We bring the world to him. And whatever we loose in heaven... In other words, when we bring someone into the kingdom, into the government of grace, then they are in God's heavenly government of grace. And likewise, when we do not, they are not in God's kingdom of grace. This is a very powerful thing that Christ has put on us. It is not a burden. It's authority. He has given us the authority to bring people into grace, to bring people into his government, so that they will be loosed. Now, how does this work? What kind of loose? Let's take a look at this. Now, we're going to look at a few things. Follow the progression of the thinking. In Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Why was the Lamb slain? When the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, a provision was given for something that was not needed yet. A provision was given for something that had not occurred in time yet. But the Lamb was slain anyway. So what God did ahead of time is He gave the provision for what He knew was coming. And what he knew was coming was essentially a divine setup. There is a great setup that has been established in heaven, set up in one sense of the word. And that setup was so that we, as imperfect men, could be with Christ as his bride. And how could a man be the bride of a God? You see, this was the setup. Lucifer fell. He took the angels with him. On the first day, he went to earth with those angels. And on earth, God put man and a prohibition, and there was your setup. Now let's follow this through. Keep in mind, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In Romans 14:23b, the Word of God says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. When John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin, what is that talking about? He that operates apart from faith. He that operates apart from faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He that continues in sin, continues apart from faith, is of the devil. In Galatians 3:12, the law is not of faith, that the man doeth them shall live in them, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Can you see how the progression is starting out here? The law was apart from faith. That means the law brought people into sin. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And then in Psalm 94 verse 20, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by the law. So now we have this. Now we know that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He that sins is of the devil. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And the law brings people into sin, and it is a government that uses the law. Satan's government uses the law to promote Satan's kingdom. Sin. Iniquity. Evil. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, if you would turn there, please. This is how it happened. Starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? This question was not the first time he asked that. This question was not a question. This question was an attack. What was he attacking? He was attacking the character of God. He was attacking the faithfulness and the love of God. Did God really say this? He was attacking His Word. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan got Eve to question the character of God. He planted a question regarding God's character. That question, because she no longer had a security and a firm foundation in the love of God, led to a law. God gave a prohibition, but He did not give a law. The prohibition was simply definition. God gave definition from His throne as to what was good for them and what was not good for them. But she, because she lost sight of God's love for her, because she was not deeply rooted in that love for her, and because having been apart from that love for her, she developed a lust pattern, Satan used that lust pattern and she got a law. She turned to a law. Why? Because she was afraid. She was no longer standing in the love of God, but she was afraid of her own sin nature. Now, she didn't have an old sin nature yet, but she knew that she had a volition that could choose sin. And she was afraid of what she would do with that volition. And so she said, We're not allowed to eat it, we're not allowed to touch it. So she took the definition, and instead of receiving it from the throne of God with the heart of God as protection because God loved her, she turned it into a law because Satan challenged God's heart toward her. And so she turned it into law to protect herself. That's where iniquity worked mischief by the law. It was right there. Satan is the one who planted the question, planted the doubt. She responded with a law that he had sent her into. And then what happened? Then Satan challenged God's faithfulness, God's reliability, God's trustworthiness, God's heart, and God's love toward her again. And he said to her, you won't die. God said they'll die. He said, you won't die. God's lying. So he transferred God's, challenged God's reliability, challenged her trust in him. So he's lying. And then he said to her, God's trying to keep something from you, so God is unkind toward you. And you're going to have what you desire in your lust pattern, apart from what God has given you. And it was a lie. You see, the iniquity that was the law brought in a lie. What was the lie? She responded, she went for it, and she believed not only that God was lying, she believed that she could have something that she didn't possess when in truth she already possessed it. Satan said, I'm going to give you what you already have, Eve. Just like he did with Jesus when he tempted him in the wilderness. If you bow down to me, all these kingdoms I will give to you. He made the kingdoms. He made the people that are in the kingdoms. He made the kings. He made the ground. He made the dirt that the walls were built out of. He made the kingdoms. And Satan says, I'm going to give you what you already have if you simply bow to me. Eve, I will make you as gods if you simply bow to me. You'll be like the angels, Eve. Well, in some respects, she already was like the angels. She was perfect. She was sinless. She had fellowship face to face with God. She was already like the angels in that regard. But what happened? He attacked God's character. And law came in. Law is what Satan uses to attack the character of God. It's the fruit of it and it's its tool. And it becomes a vicious cycle. Satan attacks God's character, I turn to a law because I am afraid. Who am I afraid of? Satan? No. Who am I afraid of? God? No, not yet. I'm afraid of myself. I'm afraid of the fact that I am a weak person. I am afraid of the fact that I am a human being. I am afraid of the fact that I am capable of failure. And so I grab onto a law thinking that the law will somehow protect me. The law didn't protect her at all. The law robbed from her the very thing she was trying to protect. How would she have protected it? Faith responds to God. That's how she would have protected it. Faith, obedience to God. Don't even eat of that tree. In Ezekiel, I think it's 31, maybe 32, the trees represented angels. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, that was Satan's tree. Why was it in the garden? Because a bunch of trees were in the garden and Satan was cast out onto the earth. His tree was in the garden. He was in the garden. God never operated out of a knowledge of good and evil. God operated out of a throne of grace. That was God's foundation. That was God's operational present toward man. Throne of grace. How do I know? The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The manifestation of that grace came when sin came into the world, but the throne was established before the foundation of the world. So what Satan had to do was to get Eve out of God's throne, out of God's government, and he did it with a law because he made her afraid when he challenged God's heart toward her. And it wasn't God that he made her afraid of, it was her own lack. It was her own volition, it was herself. A lot of believers are afraid of themselves because they don't know how to trust God for their own lives. They don't know how to trust grace for their own lives. So they say, I'm afraid of myself. I know what my flesh is capable of and I am afraid. You know, if you're afraid of your flesh, draw near to God. Draw near to God's grace. Draw near to God's mercy. Draw near to God's loving kindness. Draw near to God's tenderness toward you. And you won't have that temptation anymore. Now the serpent was subtle. He knew he couldn't tell her to go out and sin, but he could get her to be afraid. He could initiate a law. And then he worked mischief. Continuing in verse 7, and the eyes of them were both opened. Their perception was opened. It was supposed to have been closed, but it was opened. What was it opened unto? Self-awareness, self-consciousness. Their perception became open to consciousness of self. The very thing she was afraid of happened when she stepped out of grace. And so she became self-aware, conscious of herself. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. They got religious. They didn't turn back to grace to find their covering. They turned to religion. They turned to external provisions. They turned to something that would cover their nakedness apart from God's covering. It was just a fig leaf. That's the best they could do. It was insufficient. Can you imagine somebody walking down the street in a fig leaf? They'd probably get arrested. Not a good covering. Not a good covering. Now, they made fig leaves together, sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. What did they do when they became self-aware? They hid themselves from God. See, God had told them, the day that you eat of it, you will be separated from me. But the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, so he would never separate himself from them. They had to separate himself from God. God never took grace away from them. They had to step out from its government. They had to step out from the authority of grace. They had to step out from God's loving kindness and tender mercies. They had to step away from the love of God that is manifested in His government. They are the ones who walked out of the government. But what happened? The government came after them. You see, God said, "Oh, where are you? The day that you eat thereof, you will separate yourself from me, but I'm going to go after you. Where are you?" He went after them. You see, God was not content to let them just go away. God went after them because that's what God's government does. That's what grace does. The person fails and God goes after them. The heart gets hard and God goes after them. He brings something in to tenderize that heart again, to make it broken again. People curse the process that God uses in their lives sometimes, but God's going after them. And they ran away. They did not want to be found by Him because they were afraid, because they saw that they were naked. They lived in a consciousness of self. So now they're not being rooted in the love of God that brought in a law that separated them from God, was now growing, and it became fear in their life. The fruit of iniquity. That which is diametrically opposed to the love of God, it became fear in their life. You know what they didn't have? They didn't have this. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ, and it was Christ who they were talking to, it was Christ who died from the foundation of the world. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. You see, this is what Satan does. This is how He separates us from the love of God. He gets us to separate ourselves. And He brings us into a law, into a program of externals. And He does it through a law. But He says, you're keeping the law or you're not keeping the law does not avail anything. It's the faith that you possess that energizes the love of God. Satan had to de-energize Eve's faith. He could not take away her faith right away because God was in the garden with them every day giving them the Word of God. So their faith was being built. But He could take away her trust in the love of God toward her so that their faith had no energy. And so despite the fact that she had faith, and she did, she believed what God had, she trusted Him, she trusted that this was going to be that result. But because there was no love mixed with that faith turned into a law. And so He de-energized her faith. And He had to do it towards the character of God. He took it, and when she had a de-energized faith, then He could challenge God's Word to her. And when He could challenge God's Word to her, and she no longer believed, then He could get her to do what He wanted. That it was a setup. God knew all along that this would happen. And that's why the lamb was slain. That's why on the fourth day it was put into the stars. God knew it would happen. You see, there is an ultimate defeat of Satan. We are victorious. And there is an ultimate victory, but there is also an ultimate defeat. And God could not allow into heaven. Why did God cast Satan out anyway onto the earth? Because He could not allow in heaven that which was contrary, even in confession, to His character. Now in Ezekiel 28:18, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities. This is Lucifer. And by iniquity of thy traffic, therefore I will bring forth fire from the midst of thee. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities. You trafficked. He did to the angels exactly what He did to Eve. He went from angel to angel challenging the character of God. And it worked for him. And then he went to Eve and challenged the character of God. And it worked for him. And he does the same thing in the world where he challenges the character of God. He does the same thing in Christianity where he challenges the character of God. This is why there is so much legalism in some Christian churches, because they do not know the character of God. They want the law. They want something to hold on to because they are afraid of themselves. And it is iniquity and it's working mischief by the law. It's not strengthening their purity. It's not strengthening their conviction. It's strengthening their fear. It's strengthening that which is apart from faith. It's sin. It's a government. But faith works by love. You see, in this was manifested. In this was manifested. Do you see it? The work of the devil was destroyed when the love of God was manifested. How come? Because the work of the devil, this is the crux of the attack in a believer's life. Do you want to know what warfare is about? You know how we frequently say warfare is over the mind, over the thoughts? Why? What's the prize? What is the target? The love of God. That's the target. The spiritual warfare is there to take me out of the experience of the love of God. That's the target. Satan attacks so that I will not keep myself in the love of God. that's the target. And what does he do? He gets me to not trust God's character. And then gets me a little bit lustful. And then he gets me to make the wrong decisions because now he's calling God a liar. And now I enter into sin. And now it destroys my life because it has separated me from God. I have chosen to move away from God because no longer do I know His love. And I enter into sin and my life is destroyed. Satan's target is the love of God. This is why Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, love one another as I have loved you. Because this was what the manifestation was that destroyed the devil. The love of God. The blood of the Lamb. The cross of Christ. The love of God manifested upon the earth. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. This was the love of God. And so what God did is He restored the reputation of His character in the hearts of men. And in that restoration of the reputation of His character in the hearts of men, Satan's work was defeated. Don't you get it? The love of God is what defeats the enemy. The manifested love of God in the believer's life takes on three forms. The blood of the Lamb, the Word of God, and the cross of Christ. And that's the manifestation of the love of God. And when it is manifested in the believer's life, Satan has no place in the believer's life. Satan gets a foothold in the believer's life when he takes that believer and gets them to question the character of God. Why? Because then they operate outside of faith towards God's promises, outside of faith towards His character. They turn to a lust pattern. Before they turn to the lust pattern, they strengthen the sin nature in their life by turning to law, by making them afraid of themselves. Now that the lust pattern has some strength to it, they fall into sin. This is the progression. This is what was defeated. You see, in Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in Romans 4:16a, therefore it is of faith that it might be of grace. Satan's attack toward the love of God and the believer so that the believer will no longer operate in God's government of grace. If I don't know the love of God, it becomes very difficult for me to operate in the government of grace. Because it's the love of God that established the government of grace. And Isaiah 14:14, what is He doing? He's robbing, He's stealing, He's fighting. It's a warfare. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High, Satan said when he was Lucifer. So there was a battle. And he tried to be something that he was not. And he lost the battle. And so now the battle is taking people from the government of God and trying to get them into the government of Satan. It is a battle between governments. This is how wars are waged. Governments fight battles. And the idea is for one government to overcome the other government. Like we're fighting against the Taliban, or we were fighting in Iraq against Saddam Hussein, or the different wars this country has ever been in. It's one government fighting against another government. So Satan's battle is to take me out of the love of God, so I'll step out of the government of grace, and I'll do it by my own free volition, because he can't remove me. There's your warfare. Step out of grace. This is why condemnation is such a satanic tool in the life of the believer, because it is opposed to God's love. It is opposed to God's mercy. It is a tool, a vehicle for separation, because it says guilty. And if I am guilty, then I am separated. You know what God says? The guilt is on me. The guilt went to the cross. The guilt was washed away in the blood of the Lamb. This is why they overcame Him in Revelation 12:11 by the blood of the Lamb. Because that which they were guilty of was removed. Do you see it? God commended His love towards us. He sent it our way. He aimed it at us. God had a cannon and He fired it at us. And the ammunition was the love of God. In Colossians 1:20, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven." Everything was reconciled by the blood. Everything was reconciled by the blood. I come back into God's government by the blood of the Lamb. The government of God sent the blood of the Lamb toward me. Why? To bring me back. I have been functioning in the wrong kingdom. I have been a prisoner of war, if you will. And the government of God is the special forces, sent the special forces. Christ died on the cross and He rescued me and He loosed me from that government of iniquity. And the blood of the Lamb is what cut the bonds. And it made me clean and it made me pure and it took away my iniquities. It cleansed me from my sins. It removed them as far as the east is from the west. In Romans 8:34, "Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Who is it that can separate? Who is me that can proclaim my guilt, that establishes my separation? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again." You see, even there, He could not even be separated from me because my mistakes died. You see, that which the enemy has brought my way, that which the enemy has tricked me into, that which he has brought into my life, it died. And now what? Now he's seated. He's at the right hand of God. And He makes intercession for us. And I am seated in Him. And this is why I cannot be separated from the love of God. Because the separation itself has been removed. Do you see it? The separation itself has been removed. Why? Because the love of God was made manifest. And the manifestation of the love of God destroyed the works of the devil. So the separation is removed. This is why they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. In my position, I overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb. In my experience, I overcome Him by the word of my testimony. And in my life, I overcome Him by the cross. The blood cleanses me, so I am righteous before Him. The word builds my faith. And the cross brings me into His kingdom. You see, this is the victory, that we are back in grace. And now we can't be taken away. And even if I make wrong choices, I cannot be separated from Him because He lives in me. Even if I choose to sin, the worst that can happen to me is I'm going to go home early to be with the Lord, but I'm going to be with the Lord. This was the great setup. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and Satan tried to bring in something different, a separation that they would choose for themselves, but there was a setup there. What was the setup? Man was in the garden, he ends up in heaven. Man was simply created by God and fellowship with Him, and he ends up being His bride. See the setup? Why? Because in our utter victory, there's also an utter defeat. The utter defeat was Satan's. You see, he would not let him even get that separation. Satan gets nothing. we get the kingdom. It's the blood of the Lamb. See, nobody, no angel, no principality, power, anything, nobody can separate us from the love of God, because we're covered in His blood. This is the victory.